With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect One. Hello, friends. I'm your host, Chris Welch, who you can find on Twitter at IsItTheWelch. Also on the Instagram, the same handle, and over at InThisLeague.com. Oh, baby. Prospect and Dynasty lists daily are getting the move, so I can release one to you. That's going to be up here in the November update over on InThisLeague.com. Next week, P180Ps. We're going to plan to do them on Black Friday, right after Thanksgiving, where we are going to be drafting tons and tons of different teams so we can create an ADP system for prospects, which that list will then only be available at InThisLeague.com. So you want a draft, you want some lists, you want some dynasty, and maybe you want access to myself and the community, come on over InThisLeague.com. You also can beautifully know that you are supporting my work and everything. InThisLeague.com, come and sign up today. Well, the Arizona Fall League is over, so why do we have another Arizona Fall League episode? Well, this is the final one, and really it's just meant to be the Arizona Fall League Analysts Edition. This is the pairing of what I did last week with the Players Edition, which again, thank you for all the kind words. I definitely could tell that a lot of you guys enjoyed them. James Triantos, Kyle Manzardo, Carson Williams, Victor Scott, Reggie Crawford, all uniquely cool, different interviews. That was my Players Edition pod, something I think I will do from here on out. I like the structure and just kind of how fun it was. Today's episode is the Analyst Edition. And as always, God, more people I wanted to talk to, more people that would have been great for this show. But I got a couple pairings for you. It's very unique in how it is. So first up, we've got Eric Cross and Chris Clegg, the Fantasy Toolshed boys. They hung out with me live in the stadium. Tell you a little bit more about that. And a uniquely not planned podcast talk with Chris Blessing and Matt Thompson. You would have thought those two were doing a podcast together just every time. I saw the boys were hanging out the entire first pitch, but I was also on a panel with Chris Blessing. Matt was on as well. They were out there doing the real scouting business. I don't play real scout. You'll see me if you ever at a baseball game or Arizona Fall League or something like that. You'll see me, you know, right up at the very front row, my camera in between the netting, you know, tweeting out stuff, watching players, making notes, stuff like that. The real scouts do one of two things. Well, the press people will go up into the press box, but the real scouts, they're going to sit behind home plate. They're going to sit like 10 rows back with their guns, and all the other scouts are going to sit there and they're going to talk. And that's pretty cool. That's not my world. But that is what Matt and Blessing were doing, playing big real scouts the whole time as they are. And we're going to be chatting with them. So this is the analyst edition of the Arizona Fall League, which has, you know, got a little bit of a skew of also, I think we talk about some players outside, or at least I attempted to push some of the conversation for some of the players just outside of the Fall League. But we've got all four of these gentlemen joining me as we chatted in person. So these are in-person interviews, the Arizona Fall League analyst edition of Prospect One. And the Arizona Fall League is over. It ended last week. I did not get a chance, sadly, to get to the championship game, which ended up having surprise win, which I think is like 2 of 3 years or something like that. Like the surprise team, even though it never necessarily has the on paper most talented roster, they're just very well coached, very well constructed teams. And surprise was an absolute powerhouse. They were led by Jacob Hurtubise. Abimelec Ortiz ended up having a decent game and surprisingly a pretty good turnaround of a year, especially like my perception of him wasn't super great because every time I saw him, he did a bunch of nothing. But then it was like the second half he started to pick up. Eric Brown really, I think, led this team. Eric Brown Jr. led this bad boy. Wes Clark. I mean, you know, Peyton Wilson, like these were not like super rock star guys, good players, but an interesting collection of players that ended up beating the most talented team from a prospect perspective, Peoria. And that was, you know, Jacob Marcy and Chase DeLauder and everybody. But I did get to the play-in game, and that was one of the craziest games I had ever seen. So that one was me as a, just a total fan, brought both my kids, paid for all the things. Here's the blah, blah, blah. Here's the blah, blah, blah. You know, here's a ribbon. Here's this and that. Though we did get some free shirts the kids got. That game was nuts. It was actually me and my son, like for the first 2 innings before my daughter got there. And we were right up in the front row. And I was telling him about Victor Scott. And Victor Scott ends up getting this insane catch at the wall. And my kid was like, oh my God, it's the best catch I've ever seen. Also, fast forward to him winning the minor league gold glove for the Cardinals, which was probably a very big honor. Very cool to see he just won. But the Scottsdale team gets out to a 9-run lead in the first inning. I was like, oh my gosh, dude, this game is over. This is done. They were scoring run after run. Victor Scott got up twice. Trying to remember if there were homers in this game or not. Or at least in that first inning, there probably was. I'm just not Gabriel Rincon. I think Gabriel Rincon's junior hit a homer. And then we're like, okay, maybe we won't stay here the whole game. The next inning, Peoria comes back with 7 runs. Kyle Manzardo hits a bomb. I think this was also where Ryan Bliss hits a grand slam, which I put out on Twitter. Fast forward just a little bit more. Kyle Manzardo hits another homer. It's a 2-home run game. I got that on video. Chase DeLauder hits a triple. Next thing you know it, Peoria comes back and wins that game. They were down 9 runs after 1 inning. They came back and won that freaking game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Which was one of the wilder games I had seen in a long time. I had also gone the day before to see Eric Brown hit a bomb, which was nice, but a lot of homers, a lot of offense. And by the way, Peoria did this. Both teams brought out some of their studs. We saw Scottsdale put out Jacoa Roby to start. Roby got banged around. We saw Cooper Jerpy. I think he's the one that, I could be wrong. I thought he gave up the grand slam to Ryan Bliss.
Logan Workman for Peoria was out there. There were some good pitchers that ended up getting out there, and they just ended up getting beat around. But it was kind of a wild turn, which had some inflated stats at the end. Cal Manzardo ends up with like 8 homers in the AFL after that game, which was incredible to see. Jacob Marcy ended up winning the MVP. He had 12 doubles, 5 homers, 16 stolen bases. He hit .391 and led in OPS with a .1200. Kind of sad. Boy Triantos didn't get it. I actually talked to the AFL director in that play-in game. We were talking about the Triantos interview, and yeah, he told me Triantos had like a, you know, really good time with it. And it was really interesting take kind of across the board. And Triantos was really amazing here. Second best OPS. He had an almost .456 slash, 9 stolen bases, 3 homers, but just fell short. Jacob Marcy absolutely ran away with it. I think they announced the pitcher of the year for the AFL was Ricky Tiedemann, who was pretty awesome. Could have given that to Ryan Webb. Offensive player of the year was James Triantos. And I think they gave, I think Victor Scott won defensive player of the year. So they like added these new things that was out there. But Jacob Marcy ended up taking that down. And, you know, you have definitely seen, you've seen and heard me talk at length about a lot of these guys. What I will tell you is I'm going to have an article up later this week on Fantasy Pros, if you want to check it out, from the prospects from the AFL that we might see sooner rather than later. The top, probably 10 I'll have, top 10 prospects from the Arizona Fall League that you need to pay attention to for 2024. And interestingly enough, I think one guy might have just pushed himself onto this list because today, as I'm recording this, it was the 40-man roster deadline for teams to get players on the 40-man roster. Well, wouldn't you know it, Oliver Dunn from the AFL was traded for his surprise teammate, Henry Mendez. The Brewers trade Mendez and Robert Moore, Dayton Moore's kid, to the Phillies, and the Brewers acquired 26-year-old Oliver Dunn. Now, 26-year-old and prospect don't work well together, but you know, I had noted how impressive Oliver Dunn was out here, as he like should be. Like, he should be good, but I'm not sure he should be like necessarily that level of impressive. He had the fourth best OPS out here. He had a .346 slash. He had 12 stolen bases. He was never caught. And let me look here. I think he might be the only, he's only one of, oh, there's a couple guys did it. He was one of 4 players to steal double-digit stolen bases, which we ended up having, let me do 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 players steal double digits. 4 were never caught. Nassim Nunez, Shane Sasaki, Oliver Dunn, and Jacob Herdebees. They were never caught. The best batting average of all of them, Oliver Dunn. The best OBP of all of them, Oliver Dunn. Slugging, you kind of get the point. Here's another interesting fact. All the players that had double-digit stolen bases and were never caught, only one had at least one homer. That was Oliver Dunn. Oliver Dunn was the only one to have double-digit extra base hits. He had 2 homers, which was more, none of them had any. He had the most RBI. Nassim Nunez and Jacob Herdebees had more RBIs. I guess I'm looking at it. But Oliver Dunn is older, but he's a middle infield guy that I think can help sooner rather than later. And when you know it, there might be some room available for the Brewers. You could see them move off of Willy Adames. The second base, I don't think, is any guarantee. And just maybe, they might view Oliver Dunn as a guy that they might give an opportunity to early on. And I was pretty impressed with him. You saw he was able to hit. You could see extra bases. He was stealing bases. Defensively, I think he was fine. I think he's a fine second baseman. Strikeouts, I don't know, were a little bit much, but I legit think he might have an opportunity, and he's now a Brewer. And that was an Arizona Fall League player-for-player trade. Guys that played on the same team, and that happened here at the 40-man deadline. I don't know if anything else is popping up. There were some Arizona Fall League players that looked like they were not protected from the Arizona Fall League. I noticed Plasencia with the Angels and Yadier Sanchez with the Angels were both not protected, but there were quite a few other players. So again, the Arizona Fall League has its, you know, its level of players that get pushed up and can have some production. But I'm going to be posting an article, if you want maybe something more written form, of the Arizona Fall League players that could help you this year. That's going to be posted. Also want to mention, speaking of Fantasy Pros, I've got a brand new Dynasty podcast on Fantasy Pros. If you ever listen to me on The Daily Show leading off with Joe Pizzapia, it's on the same feed. So you can just follow that feed. It should be dropping here on Wednesday. And it's a little bit shorter take than what I do here in Prospect One. And it is strictly Dynasty. It's not dedicated necessarily to prospects, though there's conversation. And the first month, we're kind of just breaking down tiers of ranks. And I got Eric Cross on the very first one. So that's going to be popping up. Great guests. All Dynasty conversation built around kind of targets and ranks of players. So check that out over on Fantasy Pros. It should be tweeted out. Just a little plug there for an article and the Dynasty podcast. But I just do want to mention it was a great time in the Arizona Fall League. Thanks to everybody that came and said hi. And, you know, it's sad that it's over, but it was really awesome. Just all the production and the players and the guys that we're going to take into next year. And from the Oliver Dunns, and maybe he's going to get some run here, to whatever we're going to hear on Jackson Job and Tiedemann. You know, Caleb Durbin was the most not prospect, I think, that people would look at and be like, that's not a prospect, that I'm just kind of obsessed with how he was. Victor Scott, Jacob Marcy. And we're going to be paying attention to a lot of these come-ups. And Ryan Bliss had a really good turnaround after a kind of poor-ish AFL. And there's a second base spot that's opening up. So, you know, ears to the ground about all the players we've talked about, because between the 40-man roster crunches, the winter meetings that are coming up, you might see plenty of these players be on the move, and we'll have a little step ahead knowing who all of these guys are. So thank you to everybody that followed along with all the cool stuff. I'm going to be doing a Break This League event very, very soon here. So you want to be a part of Patreon to find out. Break This League, or I like break cards, and I have like special giveaways, and we do raffles, things from Sid's Graph and stuff. And I'll explain it there better, but I've got some cool autograph stuff from the AFL that is probably going to show up in giveaways and whatnot. One of which also is this custom AFL card set I made and almost completed, but I got a lot of the guys to sign. I'm going to do something with that. So just another one of those perks to pay attention to over on In This League. All right. Other than that, I know you guys are just kind of honed in pretty hard on the ranks. I can tell you, I've just been manic about all of them. I've also been very redraft focused, but for a reason. When I finish my redraft and my profiles for a year-to-year basis, I like to then take that to the Dynasty side. So I will have the Dynasty and Prospect update like within this week is going to be posted, and then I'll be taking all that redraft work into the Dynasty for the December update. December's going to be robust, man. It's going to have all of those plus my redraft ranks and the P1 ADPs. So it's a pretty good time. It's a good time to love baseball, which is always. So just be on the lookout for all that. And thank you guys for hanging. But let's get into it. It is the analyst edition of Prospect One. So as I mentioned, this is Chris Clegg and Eric Cross. We were at Peoria Stadium. We were in, I'm trying to think of like the context of everything. It was like Clegg, Cross, me, Frank Stamfel. I think Upper Beck was there. I think Aram was there from, I think it's Just Baseball. Aram was there. There were quite a few people that were just there. It's around like the fourth or fifth inning that we decided. So we went up into like, it's like the left field, up the bleachers. And there was this little concourse area above all the bleachers that had some chairs. So we set the mic up there. We were overlooking kind of like right where third base was, and we were just watching the game as we talked to you. And there is a moment, I think we've cited this and I think they've mentioned it, where we're mid-interview.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Say, I like you. I like you so much, I'm going to make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold, and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect One.
We are back live. It is now a tradition on Prospect One. I have got the tool shed, Eric Cross, Chris Clegg. We're live in a stadium watching baseball. What's up, guys?
Oh, man, not much. I love doing this every year. It's a fun tradition when we started in 2021. Live from the stands, so yeah, it's you can't beat doing a recording from the stands.
Wasn't it Pedro Leon Cross?
Yeah, I think that was back in 2021. Now we got Tyler Locklear. Oh no, Keegan's still up here. Fun game, 7-7 tops or bottom six.
So you're gonna hear some sights and sounds. You're gonna hear some announcers.
You might hear some cheering, so everyone's going to have to bear with us, but this is very appropriate to what we did from a couple years back, and we were crapping all over Pedro Leon, too, if you remember. We were like, I don't like any of this, and that, but that was a very popular time to be excited about Leon.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And there, I don't know how much, there are some Pedro Leons here. I was going to say, like, the excitement level, there's some high-end excitement level on players, some up and downs, and we're going to talk about some of those guys, so... How about first up? You guys have gone to, I think this is what, your fifth game now in the AFL? Is that right? Fourth?
Yeah, we'll get our, okay. our fifth tonight.
Fifth is tonight. Okay. Ooh, Dreams Triantos with a
throw. That was
throw,
a cannon.
But
a throw.
That was a cannon, but it didn't get there. So let's start with you, Clegg. Favorite player or two so far in your early looks?
Oh, man. Got to think on that one. I was trying to think outside the box. You know, everybody's got
Well, how about one that jumps to mind and then one outside the box?
Okay. Jumps to mind. I mean, Chase DeLauder looks like the best player out here. I think we can all probably agree on that. So he's an easy answer. And I kind of don't want to go that way. But
No. But hold on. Don't move past that because that's interesting because that was like my first like 3 days here. That was my thing. I was like, DeLauder looks like the best player here. He's my favorite player here. But then what's happened... He's been good. Yeah. And if people, like, stat chase it, you'll go and you'll look and you'll be like, okay, he's not striking out and stuff. But he's not eye-popping. He had this insane start with RBIs. But, you know, everything is kind of tapered down a little bit. So, as I want to talk about the deeper guy, but with DeLauder, oh, my God. Max Muncy just made a backwards glove play. That was disgusting. But my point is like... You're like, hey, we can all agree DeLauder is. I don't think everybody does agree that DeLauder is like the top guy because, you know, from a number standpoint, obviously, Triantos and Marcy are the top guys. Alcantara is probably the biggest, flashiest. Manzardo is the most major league ready. So I don't know if it is like directly. I don't know if it's a direct thought that everybody feels that way, but you're saying we all do. So just expound on DeLauder for just a second.
Well, he just looks the part. He's got that when you get off the bus look. He's just bigger than everybody, more athletic. I mean, he's 6'4", 235, so you kind of expect that. And then when you see him up close, it all backs. And the athleticism. And, you know, there's been a lot of chatter about his swing, which I'm kind of sick of, to be honest. Because
me too.
Like, every time I post a video of him, it's like, oh, this isn't going to play in the mid.
Why doesn't he follow through?
Right. Yeah. But it's such easy power. Like, people have commented on my videos of him that, like, it looks like he's barely swinging, but the ball just jumps right off his bat.
It's like a cannon, is how I've explained it. Like there's almost an element of. I mean, let's also acknowledge Chris Clegg is the first pitch golf champion. Chris did win, so maybe this reference will be out there for yellow golf class here. But it's almost like an iron approach.
Yeah.
Like you're like out of the. Like out of a trap iron type of an approach because, as people can see in the videos, he kind of stops at it, but it's an absolute explosion on the ball. And I was just telling Frank over at CBS, like, I look at DeLauder and I see the prototypical baseball player. I see everything that you want. I see easy power. I see the best eye here, a guy that walks. He doesn't strike out. His swing may not feel natural for a lot of people, but it's optimized. He can run. He plays deep. I mean, you can keep going on and on about it, but like we all agree, but I just don't think it's a unanimous thought process.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess you get such a different look when you see it in person versus just looking at the stats. Obviously, I've watched as much as I can prior to being here.
Yeah.
And so you see things, but... There's certain hitters that are high contact that are just going to excel out here, like your Marcy's and Triantos. But from a future projection standpoint, it's hard to bet against what Chase DeLauder's done. I mean, we're looking at easy plus contact. He's plus power. I mean, guys with that swing, like he's still posting like 105, 90 percentile EVs, like which is firmly above average to plus, and he's a plus runner. So, you know, across the board, I just think he's going to be pretty special.
Okay, so then sit on your deeper guy because you want to think on that for a second.
Yeah.
So Cross, as our announcer goes in, Martorella's up, as everyone can hear. So now, same aspect. Your higher-end guy, the first guy that comes to mind that has stood out to you, and then we'll go deeper after. Who's the guy, not DeLauder, that just stands out when I ask you, like, who's the guy that's impressed you the most?
You know, probably, I don't know if he's really high end, but Brian Ramos.
That's under the radar.
I wasn't sure where he falls on like the high end versus under the radar spectrum. Oh, but
we got a ball coming near us.
Oh, it is right there.
Go get it, Gary.
Wild. I almost got annihilated, but that baseball came within 3 feet. Sorry. The ball literally just bounced 3 areas, and it went right over Clegg's head, and it went right past my arm. And Eric Cross. Eric, do you have it?
I do have the ball right here.
So wait a minute. We should all autograph this
and
let's give it away.
Let's do it.
To nobody that would absolutely want it. But we're going to autograph this ball.
We should try to give it to Nathan Martorella. Like, you almost hit us.
Yes, right. We should get him to autograph it with us. All right, so we're going to all autograph this ball. And then maybe the first human being that says they absolutely want it and wants to pay for shipping will do that. That's pretty cool. That was pretty.
Where were we? Brian Ramos. Yeah.
So you were stealing Clegg's lower guy.
I'm sniping him here. Yep. But, yeah, Ramos has been scalding the ball all over the field. A couple of hard hit balls in the game we went to the other night. Then the game we didn't go to yesterday had a walk-off grand slam. You know, obviously he doesn't bring a lot speed-wise, but the power is real. Like, this is plus power and pretty solid hitter too. So this is a guy that's still pretty under the radar, I think.
Do you think it's like top 100?
I think he's definitely in that discussion. I think he's probably maybe just outside of it for me, but I think the bat is real, and I think these White Sox prospects are getting slept on a little bit, and he's definitely one of them.
Yeah, he definitely stands out. Okay, so now if you're going deeper, the next guy that jumps out to you after your looks out here, Clegg.
Yeah, so, you know, with Ramos, like, I was already high. I had him, like, 73rd ranked, and which is higher than most, but, like, I really like – and I've been impressed with him, too, obviously. He's going to be my guy, but I don't think most people are in on him. So I'm going to say Eric Brown Jr. has really impressed me. He was a college stud at Coastal Carolina. Has been pretty bad, honestly, since his pro debut. The numbers tanked pretty hard. He's always had good contact skills, but the power was pretty atrocious this year. I think his average EV was like 84 miles an hour, which is low. I mean, that's not a good indicator of future success, but like, we're talking about a dude in college that posted a ninth percentile, like 108, which is crazy with good contact skills. But he's looked really good. He had a laser of a bomb off of Kendall Williams the other night, and he's another one spraying all over the field. He's smaller, but he gets pop, and so I'm still in on Eric Brown.
Yep. Yeah, what's funny about him, and I don't know the order of how I'm going to do this, so if people are hearing me repeat myself, I apologize, but I talked with Victor Scott, and I told this story, and he lit up because what I didn't even realize is, like, they're, like, best friends.
That's awesome.
And I was telling him something about Eric Brown. Eric Brown is, like, Eric is, like, one of the nicest guys, like, very calm, very cool, very collected. He's just a great guy. But I have seen him 3 or 4 times slam a bat into the dugout when he gets into the dugout. And the reason behind it is he wants to produce here. He is here to optimize that swing, whatever that means. I know that's a very generic term I'm using, but like when I say it, it's he's here to work on the things that he's here to work on. He's here to make contact. He's here to develop more power. And he got walked once, and then the inning ended. He went in, slammed his bat. He got out, didn't get the pitch he wanted, slammed his bat. Like the frustration of he knows what he's here to do, and it's to develop the bat. And when he doesn't get to do it, it like stands out and frustrates him. And you love that competitiveness, and like there's lots of great tools, and I don't know, he's an easy guy to root for. And you're starting to see, I think, the hit tool develop a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which Sam. All right, Chris, so now same thing with you, your deeper standout that comes to mind from the AFL.
So this is someone I didn't even really have on my radar at all before I came out here, but seeing him twice now is Miguel Mendez. Right-handed pitching prospect for the San Diego Padres. Someone, again, I didn't really, you know, I had heard the name before, but I hadn't really dug into him, and he flashed some really exciting stuff. Like, I'm not sure which gun was correct, because he's been kind of two different velocity bands in terms of the fastball in each of these games, but the game the other day, he was 96, 97, you know, upper 80s change, mid-80s slider. Today, it's all been like about 2-3 miles an hour back on all those pitches, but good movement on it. You know, command is an issue, but really exciting arm that maybe is up, you know, next year, year after that. So something that I just didn't really expect to be excited about, but now I'm kind of probably going to dig in a little bit deeper to the profile.
There's always a sneaky little Padre arm here.
Yeah.
I feel like they've always got somebody. I'm completely forgetting the kid that got traded to the Blue Jays that was out here. There's two guys. They are gone from my brain. One made the majors this year with the Padres. It was here in the AFL, and the other one got traded to the Blue Jays. It is completely gone. You guys aren't saving me. You don't
Sorry.
Know.
Yeah,
no, I'm blanking too.
But the Padres always seem to put somebody out there. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm a little disappointed, though, that nobody said Chad Durbin, because, like, I'm getting obsessed with Chad
Durbin. Left fielder, number 8, Kennedy Corona.
Even though he's super tiny and he might be 5'4",
maybe.
He has anyone that's short gets the, like, Jose Altuve thing. Like,
yeah.
But if there's anybody I have ever seen that is sub 5'8" that does have the Altuve thing, in my mind, it's Chad Durbin with the Yankees. And he's stolen three bases today. Yep. He's made tons of contact. Mm. He barrels the ball pretty decently. Like, this isn't, in my mind, like this, like, oh, it's kind of a weak contact guy that's kind of, no, like, he makes, like, really strong, hard contact. The bat is always on the ball. It's Ryan Bliss-like, if we're being honest. He's just much shorter. He's a little stockier. He can run. I actually think Durbin, and I'm not a big, like, 5'6" is going to da-da-da type of guy. I actually think Durbin actually might be kind of a guy out here. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on him.
Yeah. He's, you know, he was a former Braves farmhand, so familiar with him for a while. And
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Prospect One.
More Prospect One. We've got another dynamic duo, Chris Blessing, Matt Thompson. Are you guys brothers here, by the way? I don't see you guys not together. I have not seen you separately one time here.
Matt needs rides, and I have a vehicle. And
that is the only reason why.
Also, I'm the talent of the group. I'm just kidding.
No, he is.
But yeah, like literally, I need an entourage. And I saw like Nick Pollock has like 12, 15 people. So I'm trying to build the same thing, that next year I have at least 4 or 5 people around me at all times.
There's definitely a cult vibe with Nick right now. I just want to point that out. There is a lot of people surrounded him at any point.
But weirdly, nobody has his haircut. Nobody has his mannerisms. That's when I start to worry.
Yet.
But if we come in and like Miles has changed his hair and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to be scared. I love those guys, by the way. I'm just being funny because... You know, you just notice those things. He had a great presentation this morning, and y'all missing out here at First Pitch Arizona.
It's been pretty great. We had the interview earlier where Clegg almost got hit by a baseball. We did it from the stadium. Unfortunately, we're not doing one from the car, Blessing. This is in the hall. Here's a cool thing. Chris Blessing is sitting in James Triantos' seat.
I am.
Matt? You are Frank Stanfill right now. You guys are sitting in celebrity chairs.
I'm a little taller than Frank.
A little bit. Are you?
I think so.
Yeah, you got some height on him.
Yeah.
You definitely do.
Don't think I noticed.
That's all I got. But
okay. He seems like a quick guy, though.
I want to mention something real quick. You're the Arizona native, and you're from Arizona. Why can't anybody out here catch a foul ball?
It's pretty bad. Well, they can with their head, we found out. We found out that the skulls are magnets to balls the other day.
That was so bad.
It was one of the scarier things I've seen. I've seen a couple people get hit before, but this guy got demolished. I mean, it was a direct hit on his skull. It was louder than the ball that hit a pole earlier in the day. And then a player got dinged in the dugout directly on the head. It was crazy. But, no foul balls are being caught here.
And then Clegg almost got hit, and like that's
on the pod.
That's crazy, man. Like that might have been a good sign yesterday to not be at the ballpark.
Yeah, we need some gloves. So we were talking about simple stuff here. You guys are out here. The eyes have it,
Blessing,
if you will. The eyes have it. We're out here looking at fall league stuff. Actually, how about just real quick before we talk about any players? How unimportant or important, or what side of your views with these players are you going to put any credence into? So it was a weird way of me saying, like, everyone's like, don't pay attention to the AFL, you know, short sample sizes, but you know, you do get to see these guys and you get to see a lot of ancillary things. Like, how unimportant or important is the AFL in your mind?
Well, AFL does serve a purpose. I think serves a purpose more for offensive players than for pitching specifically. I'm looking at it's a great place to see a bunch of people at one time. That's number one. Number one priority, see a bunch of people at one time. Beyond that, like, you know, guys are here to work on something, whether it's just getting healthy. That might be one of the things that they're working on, getting reps, that sort of thing. But overall, performance doesn't really – I mean, performance when I'm scouting doesn't really do it for me, you know. If we looked at performance, a guy that was here last year, Jackson Merrill, wouldn't be as high up on prospect list if we were just solely looking at performance.
And so, that's one of those like intertwining ones, though, too, because he was like one of the youngest players here.
Yes.
He was like one of the absolute youngest players here. So, yeah, it was kind of like but I asked Triantos today, too. I talked to so many players that have had bad performances. And we were like, you know, don't worry about it. Like, we're not worried about that. Like, Carson Williams, I'm not worried about the strikeouts. But then it's like, Triantos is here. dominating, and it's like, well, how much are you worried about it? Like, you know, it's, I mean, worry is not the word, but like, you're doing amazing. You're doing everything you want to do, but how much do you care? And he was kind of indifferent about it.
And you
which
know,
is
we,
the right way to do
and
it.
We talked about this too. Like Triantos, he was drafted a few years ago. He was considered a very aggressive hitter, who didn't really have a position. He was playing shortstop at the time. Didn't look like a dirt player. Looked more like a grass player, as Matt Thompson pointed out on our drive to lunch today.
Outfield versus infield.
Outfield versus infield. And he's calmed his approach. Like even here, I know that he was saying he's reacting. He's not really concentrating on that sort of thing. But like the comfort level of the player that you see right now compared to the comfort level that you saw in even April of this year or May, or even when he got called up to Tennessee, which is Double A, he got called up the very like last week or second to last week of the season, and was super aggressive because, you know, he was excited. Yeah. Here he's come back and he's been calm, and he's been within himself. And I've gotten to see him three times so far, and has been tremendous each time. Even making diving catches in center field, showing off that athleticism, and showing that, yeah, the future is on the grass.
This is a lot to do with the answer Chris already gave, but each player, to say AFL doesn't matter, I think is incorrect. Each player's individual basis. Like you mentioned, health. Triantos is getting free, quote-unquote, free reps in the outfield in a very low-stress environment, very controlled environment. You're getting him reps in the outfield. They're scheduling a couple days a week. He probably knows in advance, I would imagine, in the AFL environment, where he's going to play. Getting his bat in the lineup in multiple ways, it's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys don't get to see it unless you were here, but same thing happened with Jobe and Tiedemann that were here. They both missed so much time, and it was critical. Jobe was here to work on Cutter, which looked pretty good. And Tiedemann just, you know, making sure the arm doesn't fall off.
Those guys are going to play a part on the Major League team next year, so they need to build up those extra 40 innings out here matter.
Yeah. Funny enough, too, by the way, this is not Baseball HQ. We have an audience that jumped in here now. We're literally doing an impromptu Prospect One podcast interview here, so hi, everybody, but this is not Baseball HQ. Just give me an interview piece that's on P1. So, Matt, let's start with you. Looking at the AFL, just like I asked Clegg and Cross, the first guy that comes to mind from whatever standpoint, an impression, a super big impression, a super negative impression, developmental standpoint, like who's the guy that you think you're going to like walk away and you're going to be like, AFL, this guy meant this to me?
So I have the caveat of I've only been out here. I got out here Thursday morning.
And that's why I'm asking this question, like 4 or 5 days, like your impression leaving the AFL will be 4 or 5 days. That's who this guy is.
I saw Kevin Alcantara in South Bend, and he just impresses me. He's such a unique player. How many prospects are there, or even major league players that are built like that have that kind of skill set? We kind of mentioned this earlier this week. If Kevin Alcantara grew up in America, he's playing football. He's not playing baseball. We don't have those type of athletes that play this game, really, right? And I think what he can do is dynamic. He's got the power and speed combination. Long levers and the hit tool, those are going to be question marks. I don't think it's ever going to be plus or anything like that. It's just how much can you tolerate the strikeouts while he does what he does.
We've had a lot of those players, though, too. I'm not trying to make the comp, but, like, what you're talking about, I hear all the, like, rookie year Fernando Tatis stuff where everyone's like, oh, those striking. Remember the old projections debate that went out there with Jeff?
You've seen both of them in person. The builds aren't that different.
It is similar. He's a little bit bigger. And it's funny you said the football thing. There's a guy, you guys are probably familiar with him, Deuce Robinson, who was in the NFL draft combine this year. I went to the combine, and he was like a nothing burger. Nobody even drafted him because he had a commitment because he was the number one tight end recruit in the NFL, and he's playing at USC right now, and he played here locally. But he got featured on MLB Network because he's a freak, and he is a two-sport guy, and he had huge power, and they physically look similar. Like, Deuce is a tiny bit bigger, so to your point, like, if Alcantara grew up here, he would probably be a five-star tight end recruit or a wide receiver or something like that. So
that's the competition, right?
Yeah.
It's
But that's also the thing. You come here and you see Alcantara, and you're just like, this is everything. Like, this is the guy. It's It's kind of like with Reggie Crawford.
He's a unicorn.
Yeah, well, like Reggie Crawford is also a unicorn, but it's like so raw, and it, the results are really not there. Alcantara is there. I mean, he flying around the bases. He's huge EVs. If we could get all the data, yeah, like
double, or however you want to call it, double or triple yesterday. I don't, center fielder kind of misplayed off the wall, but I mean, it was
nuts.
Watching him run, not only is he fast, the strides are so long.
Yeah, it's like a gazelle.
Large human, perfect word.
Yeah.
Gazelle, exactly what he is. It's
yeah, I think it's a good
watch.
One. Yeah, I think it's a really good one because outside of just like...
He's going to stand out in the one game sample that I got.
Yeah.
Because of what he does, what his tools are.
But also he's a guy like, you know, I think people are a little indifferent about how you want to value him.
He's on the 40 man already, which complicates things. He burned a whole option year in 2023, obviously not playing in the majors. I wouldn't expect him in the majors in 2024 either, if I'm being honest, unless Bellinger walks away and other people get hurt. I don't see really a clear path in Chicago for him this year.
But by the way, was your impression like, because you mentioned him, because obviously he stands out physically, but like, was the impression like, God, I love him? Or is it just like...
Yeah, it was positive. Okay, I've seen him before, but it's a positive like experience to watch him play baseball. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. Blessing, same thing. So it's like the guy that is imprinted in your brain when you leave here, this is your AFL player, positively or negatively.
I mean, I don't know if he's my player, even negatively. First off, like the catching out here, catching defense specifically is very poor.
How many stolen bases did we see in Peoria the other day? Six
you
innings?
Stole one.
Yeah, I stole one.
We saw like eight total, and seven of them were from one team.
We saw nine through six innings just by Mesa alone against Dominic Keegan. And that is, I is wild to say this, not the only time that has happened here in the AFL. Because the player you're going to talk about gave up, I believe, 9 or 11. It's one of those two numbers, like 2 weeks ago.
Yes, and that's Kevin Parada. Mets prospect, first rounder. I think he was in his 2021 draft, I believe, with Jett Williams, who is a far superior prospect at this point.
We were just
point.
Talking about Jett, Seth right. and I, before we started recording here.
Yes, a future center field prospect, most likely. Doesn't look like he's going to stick on the dirt either. I don't know where Parada A plays. Catcher is really, his bat's going to have to carry him at catcher. The problem right now is that the bat's not that good. I was talking to Brent Hershey, co-GM of Baseball HQ. He asked me, like, what was the biggest impression, just like you did. And the biggest impression has been seeing Parada in person, being able to get that side profile look, seeing that his stance load is basically to take his hands and then kind of drop them. And most of the time when you're doing that, you're also kind of gearing to go back. He kind of keeps his hands in this one place here and then is trying to generate bat speed from that moment and just can't. Like, there is no way that he reacts quick enough and has a quick enough swing to be able to really get around on pitches.
Let me ask you, I don't want to kill your thought, but what's wild about that is he was one of the most prolific college hitters.
He was.
At Georgia Tech, people don't know. He hit like 328 or 340, somewhere in between there. I'm not looking at it, remembering. But it was in the like mid threes. He was a huge like floor contact type of guy,
safe college bat,
safe with like 28 homers I think it was in that final year. Again, I might be misremembering a few of the numbers, but it was in the mid 20s with a high 300. If you took that player and then you looked at Kevin Parada here, you'd be like, nope, those are not that, those can't be the same two players.
But it's been the same player in the pros ever since he debuted. I think he debuted at the Complex and then at Port St. Lucie that first year. But it's essentially been that same player. It hasn't really changed. There hasn't really gotten any like stretches where things have gotten better with him. If anything, it's gotten worse as he's moved up. You also got that thing in the AFL too. We're in the last weeks of the Arizona Fall League. He definitely looks like a guy that doesn't necessarily seem
ready to go home.
He's ready to go home. It's been a long year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
And I can get their insight. And obviously some things I believe, some I don't, but... I'm just kind of an open book to hear the analysis, and sometimes I'm just like an aggregate in my brain of like, okay, you know, I've had this person tell me this, this, and this, and then I've got my personal takes and my biases to it. That's what makes good podcasting and good conversations in general, and that's what was kind of cool about this. It's also a lot easier to have like really great conversations when you're in person. It can be missed over StreamYard and Zoom and stuff, and I think we all know that. This is not that. These are all in person, and I really hope you guys enjoyed it. The final of the Arizona Fall League edition podcast, all dedicated to the analysts and you guys. So thank you guys again for all that fun stuff. As we are going to be turning the page, we're going to be turning the page to ranks, turning the page to profiles, turning the page to P180Ps. Yes, those are going to be going down next week. The focus won't be on that. We'll probably talk a lot about like the off-season ranks and some of the really important names. And then we'll be turning to probably like a weekly breakdown of like each league and where some of the guys went. I always think that's really useful, creating an ADP system for that. So InThisLeague.com, if you guys want to join up on the Patreon, do that today. Updates coming, more updates in December, and you can just know that you're supporting the work, which is pretty cool. That might not be your thing, but you can wait until the specific thing you want is posted. That's also very cool as well. So thank you to everybody. No more baseball for a little bit. We're just going to have to take to rumors and winter meetings and trades and free agency, and maybe that will suffice, hopefully. But I am excited to talk to you about all the prospects during the entire offseason, maybe a little bit of Dominican Winter League we should look at as well, some Litem, where the values go, and as we continue the breakdown, and hopefully talking to some really cool people as well. So that's going to do it for the podcast. Thank you guys, as always, for hanging. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. In This League on the Patreon. Is It the Welsh on the Twitter? That is it. Have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you next time right here on Prospect One.